الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم، فقال تعالى: لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Usually after the month of Ramadan, there is a reminder about istiqama, that alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal, as Muslims we manage to fast and also pray at night. Now after Ramadan, what we should be aiming for is to have some sort of continuity. As mentioned, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like the amal that continues. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا. The most beloved of the actions in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal are those that continue. Because with continuity, even a small amal becomes big. And with continuity, even a small amal can have big impact. And we see this even in our worldly life. If a person does business, and every day he is doing business consistently, he will be doing well in the long run. If a person is lazy and only does long hours as and when he feels, once in a while, although he may be putting so many hours, he might be working long hours, but it is not consistent. So we don't see any positive impact. And this can be seen in many aspects of our life, in our ilm, in our tahsil, in our relationships, and in every other thing. The same also applies to the deen. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to like continuity. And that is why we have so many a'mal which are encouraged on a daily basis. Although they are not obligatory. For example, we have the sunan, rawatib. They are not obligatory, but we do them on a regular basis. Even some nawafil, like Ishraq and Salatul Duha, not obligatory, but we are encouraged to do them on a regular basis. Sadaqah, there is sadaqah that we can do on demand when there is a requirement. But we should give sadaqah even if there is no demand, because it is amal. It is something that should be done. So even a small amount, we should do it every day. Why not? أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا. So alhamdulillah, usually after the month of Ramadan, we remind each other about this. But there is something I would like to draw your attention to, which is having moderation in istiqama. Istiqama is good and is desired, that we remain on the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is desired, that is encouraged. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have istiqama as you have been commanded. Obviously, if Allah Azza wa Jal is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is
basically a command for us, but in a gentle way, in a polite way. If Allah has commanded the Prophet ﷺ, then we deserve more. We need more. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he is already on istiqamah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded istiqamah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has praised those who have istiqamah. But sometimes, istiqamah can be misunderstood. Like the way taqwa can be misunderstood. Istiqama is basically having continuity of taqwa, having consistency in taqwa. So taqwa can be misunderstood. Sometimes we exaggerate and we make it so difficult that people assume, no, this is not for me. This is not for ordinary people. This is only for elite. So basically that means I should not try. It's not for me, so no point working hard and no point trying to have taqwa or no point trying to have istiqamah. And the problem comes from not having moderation, not having i'tidal, not having reasonableness. As Muslims, we do what Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to do, and we avoid what is haram. We avoid what is haram, and we also avoid what is doubtful, that is good. But we are required to do as much as we can, not beyond our capacity. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentioned a story of a person who went to ask about taqwa or about istiqamah to somebody. So this person, he said, well, I used to have taqwa, but not anymore. How come? Well, because I don't know about my income, whether it is halal or haram. What happened? So basically, I have my farm, and next to my land, there is another land. So my cow walked into his land. Animals, they graze and they move around. You cannot stop them. So my cow walked into his land. My worry is that when the cow came back, it might have brought some soil from neighbor's land. And that soil is not my soil. So that soil is mixed with my soil. So the crops that I have in my land, actually, I don't know how much is mine and how much belongs to the neighbor. That's why I no longer consider my income to be halal. So we have stories like this. And sometimes we fancy, we like these stories, and we tell among each other these stories. But the negative side of this is that there is no i'tidal. So anybody who would hear this, they would say, oh, yeah, that's true. That means it's too hard to have taqwa, right? Because if you have land and you have neighbor's land, your animals are going to move around. You cannot stop your animals from moving around. So that means the animal, when it will come back, it will come back with soil. And the neighbor's soil is mixed with soil, your soil. That means that my income is not halal. If we are going to do this, then we will discourage ourselves. And also we will discourage others from working hard and from doing the right thing. As Thani Rahmatullah, he said, well, if the animal has come back with some soil, and if you have doubt that your neighbor might be offended with this, well, give him some soil. Just take some soil with your hand and put it in the neighbor's land. That's it. or ask him, let him know that this happens. He doesn't mind, he doesn't mind. And usually people don't mind, because if he does not want any other animal to come into his land, well, he will have fence. Or you make your own fence. The point is not the story itself. The point is, sometimes we set our own criteria for taqwa. Sometimes we set our own criteria for istiqamat. And we make difficulty for ourselves. The criteria is that which is said by the Quran, by the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Sharia. This is halal, halal, haram, haram, that's it. There is no need to go over and beyond and set a very strong and very strict criteria for ourselves, which we cannot meet. And then we feel depressed. And then we also make other people feel depressed. And then we make other people feel that Islam is good, but not doable. Taqwa is good, but not doable, not achievable. The truth of the matter is that no doubt that Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants us to have taqwa. But at the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants us to have moderation. Allah knows we are human beings and we have limitations. We have our own needs, our requirements. So do what Allah Azza wa Jal has said, but there is no need to worry too much. Avoid what Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden, but there is no need to worry too much. That's why we see in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in the life of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that sometimes they used to do things which are just normal, so that they make their life easier and they make other people's life also easier. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to wear simple clothes, but sometimes when people gave him, you know, very expensive clothes, he also put them on for a little while. This is to say that if somebody wears them, there is no problem, because if it was haram, he would not have done that even for a little while. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would avoid doing certain things in order to make it easier for people. The obvious example is Taraweeh itself. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not pray Taraweeh every single night with Sahaba. Why? Just in case if it becomes obligatory, it will be difficult for people. He wanted, and he did for a few nights. And that's why Sahaba understood that this is what he wants. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they did after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he himself did not want to make it difficult for people. He liked doing miswak very much. And he wished if he could command, if he could oblige the people to do miswak all the time. But he did not do so. لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك قبل كل صلاة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. If it was not the fear that I would make it difficult for my people, I would have commanded them to make miswak before every salah. So he encouraged us to do miswak when we make wudu, but he did not oblige. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to eat while sitting. So food, he would not sit, he would not stand up and eat, or he would not walk around and eat. He would sit down and eat, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes you will have a situation where that may not be possible. Or sometimes you will have something very light. Like, you know, you have almonds in your hands and you are cooking something and you put your almonds in your mouth. Do I need to actually sit down and put almond in my mouth? No? You know, you are doing something and you have chickpeas. That is eating, eating. But are we required to sit down and put, you know, one bite of chickpeas in my mouth? No. In general, yes. When you have food, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he liked sitting and eating. That's why once somebody wanted to come and meet Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. So Hazrat said that, look, I am an ordinary person. Sometimes I eat while standing. So if you think that I am so pious that I never eat while standing, then I am not that pious. And by that, Allah knows best. What he meant is like these things. You know, you have almond and you just put in your mouth. Or like nowadays, for example, people have chocolates, right? Somebody came to your house, you met and you offered him tea, whatever. And he is just leaving, and you just give him a chocolate. You know, keep this. Rather than eating afterwards, he just opens and puts it in his mouth. Nothing wrong. Examples of this can be found in many aspects of our life, where Allah Azza wa Jal has not obliged us with certain things. But sometimes we oblige ourselves. And we set a very unachievable criteria, unobtainable criteria for ourselves. And then neither we meet that criteria, nor people can expect that somebody can meet that criteria. And then people think, no, no, this is not for me. I should just live my life the way I can. Allah will forgive. Somebody asked me, some student, question about some sort of job. So I said, well, this job has this problem, because some jobs involve, you know, haram, selling, whatever. So if somebody asks you, you have the right responsibility to tell them the right thing. If there is haram thing involved in a job, well, and somebody asks you, you are obliged, you are supposed to tell them the right thing. So I told him that, look, this job has this haram element. He said, all my friends, they do. I said, you have not talked to them? Yeah, I have talked to them, but they told me that now we are young, we should make as much money as we can, and then we will make tawbah, Allah will forgive. Allah will forgive, that is true. That is haq, right? But that is not an excuse to do something wrong deliberately. And this comes from another idea, that taqwa is not for everybody. Being muttaqi is not for everybody. People who are retired, they can have taqwa. Or people who go in jamaat, they can have taqwa. Not me. Or imams, alims, they can have taqwa. I don't have to have taqwa, because this is not for me. Unfortunately, this is not the correct understanding. Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave us the ni'mah of Islam. And living as a Muslim, that is having taqwa. Practicing Islam, that is taqwa. Practice Islam according to your ability, that is taqwa. If you don't know, ask, that is taqwa. But going beyond your capacity, that is not taqwa. That is overburdening yourself. Don't overburden yourself. When you overburden yourself, you cannot walk for long. You will walk and then you will get tired. We know the famous story. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they came to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked about his prayer at home. So the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they informed them that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home, like anybody else, he would pray and he would sleep. Meaning, he will not pray all night, he will pray and also he will sleep. He will eat food and also he would fast, because Rasulullah used to fast Mondays and Thursdays and other times as well. So when these Sahaba, they heard this, they said, oh, the Prophet is not like us. Meaning he doesn't need to do anything, but we need to do more. So one of them said that I am going to pray all night, every night. Meaning I will not sleep at night. Another said that I am going to fast every single day, not in Ramadan only, throughout the year. I will fast every day. And the third person, he said that I will not get married. I will live without marriage. Obviously, they are not doing anything wrong. In fact, they are doing more of what is good. They want to do more of what is good. But is this more of good doable in the long run? Is this doable for everybody? Is this desirable? Is this recommended? No. The news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he called them and he told them that, look, I know Allah more than you and I fear Allah more than you. إِنِّي أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. I have more taqwa for Allah than anybody among you. However, I pray and I sleep, I fast and also eat, and I also get married. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to have moderation in our life, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq to have correct understanding of deen. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to have courage to practice upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.